I.B. Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's Joan.
Good morning, Joan.
Oh.
Still not light around here.
Oh, I know. About February 30th. Right, no, let's see. It can't be that. It must be March 1st. It'll be late. At 7? Yeah. Well, it's 6:30. Oh, no, it's 7. Right. Another month.
Time does it come out?
Yeah, by 7, I think, yeah. It starts to get light at 7. Yeah, the sun rising, that's a different thing, you know, but light happens, you know, early. It, you know,
so
it's at
an end. Give us some warning.
Yeah. You're breaking up.
Oh. I used my cell phone, which I thought was better than my house phone.
Well now, right now you're not, but...
I had my phone lying on my desk.
Oh, I see.
So that's why. So, how's your computer progress coming?
Oh, I'm not getting progress anywhere. This is a month. I really should be a snowbird. I mean, I am affected by the dark. I mean, I just, you know, I just think about soups and naps. I'm getting all my sleep. I'm probably sleeping 12 hours a day.
My goodness, you need something more to do.
Oh, no, much more to do. I need to do it, you know. And then in the summer, sometimes I sleep 3 hours, 4 hours a day.
You really are. You should be. Good morning,
yep.
Good morning. We have with us, John, going to get on the WebEx.
Nancy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Connie. I think I heard a Nancy.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the call. I'm going to set my view so I can see what I'm doing here a little bit better. And mute these, so we can get started. Okay. So we have a chimes muted. Now, if you have noise, that might have some noise, we can mute that. So we've got star 6 to mute, and star 6 to unmute. So you don't have to be muted unless you have a bunch of noise. But we're live team. So on the screen right now, we have some of our people, and also our health style is a mission. You can support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit. And this is Wednesday. This is Ruth Williams, and I'm welcome you to our call where we are going to be talking about the mind today and on Wednesdays. And so I'm excited about that. I feel like I got left out in the education there. Oh, I didn't take... the courses in college that would have led me to teach to learn those things, and I didn't learn them in high school. I know my hand and my foot, and that's about it. Not too much about my brain. And so on this call, we talk about staying healthy with 10 points, and they are on the screen here. Water, our Pontiac water, and our 8 glasses a day, and that's really important to our brain. Our sleep, and Joan and I were just talking about getting more sleep in the winter than we do in the summer. Exercising, that's important for your brain. Your nutritional, boy, those are important for your brain. Journaling, that's an aid for our brain. And talk about how we're feeling so that we will know what to do better the next. And then our meals. And we have some help for those. In our block charts, it tells maybe an idea of how much the small chart comes from Dr. Barry Sears. He didn't make the chart, but he kind of founded the idea of blocks to help people to know how much they're supposed to be eating so we're not overeating, or maybe we will find out by experiencing it how much is just right for us. But this gives us some place to start. They are colored in a way to give help and an idea with a pH values. Let me fix my little dot. And that's down here at the bottom, and the pH is definitely going to affect not just our mind, but our whole body. Our body does not like to be acidic. That's where bad bacteria and cancer cells can grow. It likes to be neutral, a little bit more onto the alkaline side, and be happy that way. And so we have studied about that. Yeah, these charts, this one is for the meat and poultry type of things. This chart, there are two pages to it. This one's for the carbohydrates. And then we have a straight pH chart, and that's what's on. And those are all on the website. It's listed on our first page. Not listed on our first page, but it's on ybhurton.com. Or got this. Okay, so let's take a look at our brain today. Anybody have their brain awake yet today?
I'm present and accounted for.
Okay, well, here is a slide where it shows a little bit about our brain. It's got a picture of a cart with a brain on the back, and it's so heavy that it lifted a donkey right off the ground. And so it tipped the cart over backwards. And the brain itself actually weighs 3 pounds. The brain is 75% water. So you know you've got to have some to drink. 10% fat and 8% protein. Although it is only 2.5% of the average body weight, it uses up 20% of our body's energy. Wow, 20%. It is the biggest amongst all Earth's creatures relative to body size. The human brain stops growing when we reach 18 years old. Coincidentally, the legal age for buying alcohol.
Shrinking the brain.
Yes. Okay. So today we're just going to learn kind of about the brain, and we'll have a list of some of the other things after this. Okay, so here's what I really didn't learn. I think I still had this in some biology classes or something, but I didn't really remember them all. And so these are the parts of the brain. And so we're something here to look at, and there's about more than 12, and labeled for the different parts. So we want to note some of them. Cerebral cortex is up here on the top. And cortex takes up about 85% of the brain, and it has two hemispheres, the left and the right part of the brain, where that's where our higher thinking and our memory and analysis are located. So don't get a big bang on the top of the head. The hind brain back here is the cerebellum, and that is where we coordinate voluntary movements and posture and balance. And it also consists of two lobes. Our reflexes and our muscles are controlled by the cerebellum. And you guys probably already know this, but I don't remember which was what and which was where. And then we have over here the brain stem, and it comes down out of the back, down your neck. So those are the three basics. And then, let's see, the meninges up here are the membranes. They're on the outside of the brain. They are the membranes. They're three membranes that cover the brain and the spinal cord. And they are the meninges. And then there is the colossum, a great band of fibers which unites the two cerebral hemispheres. And I thought that was, I liked knowing the name of that, because when one of our daughters was little, it didn't seem that she learned exactly like I thought she should be learning. Her sentences would be all mixed up, and it seemed like that some of her sentences would have part of the sentence in one sentence down further in another part, the rest of it would be up in another part, so it was just mixed up looking all the time. And she just really couldn't write a story or a paragraph or much of anything very well. And so I studied into that and had long time ago learned about a Philadelphia Institute of Learning, and I think that was the name of it, and it taught about how your body could train your brain. And you guys have probably all heard about it then, but when I was, my older kids were younger, so about 40 years ago, I was doing some, I don't remember exactly where I found out about that, but then I did do some teaching, substituting where we were teaching the children that weren't learning well, playing games with them where we crawled around on the floor, and you guys have all heard about crawling to train your brain and to activate it, exercising the brain. Since I had learned that, even when my oldest was a baby, I started having school time when he was just born, and we had exercises to exercise the brain, and did them right from birth almost, and have done that with all my children, and Whitney's doing hers. So Whitney was having this problem with Whitney, probably guessed anyway, she seems bright, she has humors and everything, but she just didn't learn very, very well or correctly or something. And so I got this program, I think it was out of the University of Washington, and you stood on a balance board and you hit a ball left, right, and you did these exercises with a video. And I think it was about 12 weeks into it, we had to do that every day, bounce on the trampoline. And there are two different little exercises that you did where you went from left to right and left and right. And what it was doing was teaching her left brain to work with her right brain that hadn't gotten connected properly. And all of a sudden, one day, I assigned a girl to do a report about some countries or something. And so usually she would just not even hardly attempt to get it done or get it done very well. And Chas would have hers all done. And Whitney was back in about 10 minutes. And I said, "Do you copy and paste?" I looked at it and it was perfectly great. And I said, "Did you copy this from the computer?" She said, "No, I just wrote it. I read it and then I wrote it." And ever since then, she's been able to write perfectly. And so her brain had been trained to talk to each other, the left and the right, to communicate with each other. And then she played tennis and everything. Had her already in piano lessons. But that is something that I thought, boy, this really does work. Anyone else have any experiences with teaching your left brain to talk to your right brain? Anyway, if you have somebody who has trouble learning, that's something to think about. Using the body to train the brain. Okay, now then, we've looked over a few of the parts of the brain here. Brainstem, hypothalamus is down here, right? Down here in the middle, that's an important one. That's the part that some of these toxins, we talked about the vaccines and the things that are in those combined combined with the pesticides and herbicides combining and causing Parkinson's and other diseases because of those toxins affecting the hypothalamus. So now we're ready for our test, right?
Right.
In that brain part. So.
What was the question?
You know, I was thinking, I better go get that thing and do some exercises myself for my brain.
Well, my cortex has to be on one of the answers, because that's 85% of the brain.
All right, there it is, up on the top. Cortex, cerebral cortex, number one. Okay. Then we have this part that's right here in the middle. The center of the brain. And, ding, hypothalamus. My kids get the right answer, I always said, ding. Okay, and back here in the back part.
Cerebellum.
Brainstem?
Oh, wrong, but I have to do the brainstem first because that's the order I did them.
Oh, sorry.
So the part that goes back down the back of your neck, brainstem, right. Okay, and over here, their numbers are different than my numbers. And the back of the head, back lower back of the head, is, yes, you were right, I think that was Connie, cerebellum. Okay, and the cerebellum takes care of our reflexes, our muscles, and here we are thinking up here in the top. Okay, so, brain lesson. Now then, here is the cerebellum talking. Hi, right hand, it's cerebellum here. A biscuit has just fallen off the plate. Can you try and catch it before it hits the floor, please? Without spilling the other three biscuits off the plate, too. Thanks. So then you can talk to your cerebellum if you want to. Sorry, the brain is a little misshapen. I wanted to be able to read the words. I wanted you to be able to read the words. Okay. So now then, let's look down here at some... Health of our brain is judged by the speed and capacity of its function. People in white coats who spend all of their time analyzing brains have identified a list of the most important brain cognitive functions. And here they are. Attention, perception, judgment, memory, executive function, remembered skills, language, and thought. And, more recently, we've been hearing that our mind is in more than just up there in our brain. It's in, also in our body. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but I remember phone numbers most of the time, but once in a while, if I can't remember it, I get a phone and make my fingers remember it on the keyboard. It feels like more like my hand knows it better than my brain. So maybe my brain is just a little weak, so I've got to use the rest of my body. I don't know.
That's called motor memory, and people that play instruments like the piano or the harp, their fingers just get a habit, and they repeat that habit. Once you start that habit, you can repeat it. It's called motor memory.
Thanks, Joan. I'm glad I've got some.
And people that have amputations, they have... feelings, they can have feelings in their missing body part because the nerve cells that are running through alongside the muscles are firing, and they think they're, you know, wiggling their toe or that their toe itches, different things like that.
Now, we hear about some people that have had, then they have pain also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this motor memory, I think we've experienced when we do things like gymnastics or anything else, but gymnastics in particular, because you can't just flip through the air there and remember it all. You just sort of pop it into your brain, and then your brain, do it a few times, and your body remembers how to do that.
And women that prepare meals, I mean, I don't know if you've ever... you know, been half asleep and been able to negotiate your kitchen and reach for the pots and, you know right where. You don't think, okay, I'm going to put my hand, you know. You just, you can just do it.
You know, and I think I notice that the most is when I'm someplace strange and I have to think all the time for, okay, now where's that pot, et cetera. So,
yeah.
That's a good example. Okay. So, here's our brain, more than a computer, and in this brain is lifting a barbell and trying to get stronger. And so on one side I have the good, and the other side I have the bad. And some of the things that we might want to learn about the brain. And under the good, we might talk about sometime, hope you can. We might talk about how to exercise the brain. We talked about that a little bit today. Immune system and the brain. The brain's immune system. Keeping our sanity. Talk about attitudes. And I'd like to know if there are any other things that you'd like to learn about the brain. What would you like to know about your brain? If you think of any, you can email me and then I'll add it to my list here.
I have one, Ruth. This is Kathleen. What about getting into something and then just never quite finishing? Just never quite, you put the clothes on the stairway but don't put them away, or just, you know, just don't quite finish a task. Dust part of the room and not the rest. What's the reason for that?
Focus. Okay, or how, you want to know what the reason is for not doing it, or you want to learn how to do it?
Yeah, I want to learn, you know, to complete. You know, I got 1,000 things on my brain that I want to do, and I can't do them all at once, but I'll maybe drop one and go to another. And I know I'd like to get it finished.
I have an answer to that. It's called my before rule.
Yes, before you brush your teeth and go to bed, you have your list made.
Yesterday Connie and I had an appointment, and I said, well, I have to do my before rules before I can start doing NECAN. And I have to go and get myself ready for the day and, yeah, brush your teeth and put the dishes away. I have to do the before rules before I can do something else. So the combination of my answer for that is task list. Before rules. And so the things I want to do or go off and do, I have to have, my rule is I have to get finished with my befores before I can go and move on to something else. I have to have those rules or I do whatever I want to feel like doing at the moment instead of what I'm supposed to be doing, what's on my list that I really want to accomplish.
Ah, now we're getting to it. And if that doesn't work, you're just rebellious. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. And then there's the side effect of multitasking. There are side effects to, you know, just like with medications, there are side effects. Well, there are side effects to multitasking.
That's the end without the end.
Right. Right. And you have this impression, you work just until you can think your way through the end of it. And if you can think your way through it, it's done.
Exactly.
And then you act as though it's done.
Oh, okay.
So it's
complete a picture in your head.
Yeah.
The what? The completion is in the head?
Right. Picture is done.
And if that's your problem, you probably spend a lot of time thinking through how you're going to do something. And then you go to sleep without doing it.
Or sleep on it and get up and just whip through it the next day.
Yes. Yes,
I figure out sewing that way and some things. Figure out some tasks that way.
Yep. So you're just a little rebellious.
You know, that's true.
Yeah, but I think, Joan, you said something that's really important, and that is if you start thinking about all the aspects of getting it done, it's just, I don't even want to start. But if you picture it done, then, okay, let me get it to look like that.
Right. And if you want to start yourself in action, you do the first thing at hand. Just do the first thing. Just do the first thing. Just do what's right at hand, the first thing. And you'll get through it.
I find that to be really true with the dishes. There's a whole bunch of dishes everywhere. Okay, I'll just put the glasses in the dishwasher.
Right, there you go.
I don't have time to do the rest. I'll just put those glasses in, and it won't look so bad.
Yeah.
First thing, that's done.
I like your before you go to bed. I haven't used that. I do use do the first thing. So I need a new piece of paper on which to put these little sayings.
In a notebook.
Okay. Now that before we run out of time, let's look over here at the bad side. We have the good side of things we want to learn about, how to help our brain and everything. And over here we have the bad side. Some of the things we'll talk about, the aging of some of these are from another list that is on something I was reading. And I don't really know what I'm talking about here, so don't ask me any questions yet. We're not covering this today. Alpha-lipoic acid.
It's something to think about.
Alpha-lipoic acid, to find out about. Alpha-lipoic acid and the aging of the brain. Causes of aging in the brain. Fluoride and the brain. Normal wear and tear of the brain. Rapid deterioration. Soy and damage to the brain. Toxicity of aluminum to the brain. So those are some of the things that I'm going to find out about, and then we'll learn about. And if there's any others that you would like to know, then we will add them on.
Great.
Okay, so now then, here we have a picture of our food for thought, our brain. And so one is water. I bet you never guessed. Almonds? Yay, I eat lots of those. Oranges? Blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, pecans, dark chocolate, and certain kinds of tea. It has tea in general here. It's probably the green tea. It's got a green leaf. Okay. So we'll be talking more about that. Here are six tips for brain health. Guess what one they didn't have on? Anybody who's looking at the screen can tell.
Water.
Right. Good grief. Okay, well, first one is socializing, tips for brain health. Mixing with people helps maintain an active brain and helps avoid mental health issues. We will cover some of these more later. Being mentally active, puzzles, mind-based video games, learning new skills or languages, card games, arts, crafts, anything that makes you really think. This does not include TV. Unless you're playing a video game. Now that's questionable. Exercise. This doesn't mean doing push-ups with your brain. It means getting your blood circulating, maintaining body functions, and avoiding things like stroke, diabetes, and heart disease that can contribute to dementia. We know exercise is good, but not all of us do it. That brings in the question of I've been thinking about if some of the things I'm doing, is this sanity? Okay, brain food. We just looked at some of those, and we'll be talking about that more, and oily fish and carbohydrates. I think they have listed everything. We all know that eating healthy food is good, yet not all of us do this either. Manage our stress, number five.
Yeah.
Number six, being organized. Stress, but running late, looking for lost items, having to do things twice, and missing appointments. Always keep keys, wallets in the same place. Okay, well, guess what? We have six more tips. Number seven, goal setting. Analyzing, planning, executing and then evaluating personal goals. And we can talk about some of these different things throughout our year. Decorating home. Actions that give your brain a good workout. Bad habits. If it comes as a surprise that drinking heavily, smoking and taking drugs is not good for your brain, then you definitely need to get started to a healthier life today. Being health aware. Keep your eye on your body and listen to what it's telling you. This can help with brain health by being mindful of conditions. I think we have talked about this, such as hypertension or diabetes that are risk factors for diseases such as dementia. And so we always have to listen to our body as it communicates with us. Heredity risk. If your parents, siblings, relatives further up the family tree have experienced brain disease, then you are at a higher risk. So take better care. Sleep. Our brains are busy processing information while we sleep, so having a regular 7 or 8 hours helps keep the filing cabinets in our mind in an orderly state. Avoiding head injury. Avoiding a conk on the head is important at any age. Helping older people avoid accidents such as falls and injury to the head is especially critical as they are at the increased risk of bruising or veins bursting from that form potentially fatal blood clots. Okay, so one of the things then we wanted to add is how to keep our blood vessels healthy so they won't burst. Vitamin C, here we come. That's what Donna was talking about.
And resveratrol, red seed extract.
Pardon me?
That keeps the vessels pliable. the walls of the arteries and blood vessels.
Oh, is that what that does?
Arden crack. We'll be talking about that more. We have not time to talk about that today. And so I want to close with a little thought for the day. Does anybody have anything to that they want to add to the list or want to learn about before I do this?
Ruth, in the future, you don't have to do it, you know, immediately if you've got all this other lined up, but I'd like to know more about adult ADD because it kind of, I've been seeing these reports on the news where if parents, I mean, if the child has that problem, a lot of times the parents do, and then while taking the child in for treatment or whatever, the parent sits there and says, oh, that's me. I've got those same symptoms. But they say a lot of times adult ADD is overlooked. So that might be something to talk about and learn more. And that kind of falls in that class of not being able to complete tasks and finish projects and things like that.
Yes, I definitely did relate to Kathleen when she was talking about that. I never did think I had ADD before, but boy, I can hardly stand to do only one thing at a time. And, you know, some of these things, what's the deal? I'm running around everywhere. I always thought it was just because I didn't want to be bored. Okay, thank you. That was Nancy, right?
Right.
And so I'll put that on another kind of a list, I think. I'll start another kind of a list. Okay. So about we're talking about our brain health, but we're also talking about our mind. And we'll want to be thinking more about how to keep our mind kind of healthy. And attitude isn't everything. But it is one thing that can make a difference in your life. And this is now, I'm going to be sometimes referring to the difference maker, which we're all trying to make a difference in ourselves and in others, help others and make a difference in their lives, John C. Maxwell. And he emphasized, to begin with, that it isn't, attitude isn't everything. But there is little difference in people there, but the little difference that makes a big difference. And that little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it's positive or negative. And that's all a part of our mind. So the goal is not to show you by saying that attitude is everything, but to show you that your attitude is the difference maker in your life. So let's remember that and keep our mind healthy by keeping our attitude positive and healthy. There's always a positive and many, many things to be grateful for, and I think gratitude is a big part of attitude. So that's it for today. If you guys have anything else that you would like to talk about in the future, let me know by email. Everybody have a great day, and we'll be here tomorrow with Nancy. Nancy, did you have a talk base yet for tomorrow?
We're still on the
the endocrine?
Yes. So we're going into the TSH, how they do the testing for thyroid, the proper way to test. But I got down as far as starting on the TSH score.
That will be an important thing to learn, to keep our brains healthy with our thyroid and the rest of our body as well. Okay, so you guys have a great day, and we'll be here again tomorrow.
Okay, Ruth. I'll talk to you at home again.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome. Keep your brain healthy.
Okay.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.